All right, you can be turning in your Bibles to Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew.
First chapter.
All right, Jesus, Matthew chapter 1 then. We're going to begin reading just with verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, or while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Remember, Christ must come from the lineage of David, right?
Right?
Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Man, can you imagine what Joseph was thinking about this time?
I really can.
But we're going to look in a minute, see what Mary was thinking. What about Mary? I tell you, it's hard to conceive, you know, what either one of these saints were thinking when this all took place. But wonder of wonders, right? Never happened before. And it will never happen again. Thankfully, it won't need to happen again. All right, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Bruce, God was on this earth for 33 years, and how few people had any inkling of what this was all about.
I just mentioned that it worked for somebody, because it just amazes me.
Yeah.
Still, that the Creator walked around.
Yeah.
As a man.
As a man. That's even so difficult for us to think about. What he came from in order to come down and walk on this earth and to endure the things that he endured at the very hands of his creation. But it was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name, Jesus. What faith, right? Bruce said he was reading a book Jeremiah Burroughs wrote on faith. Faith. What in the world is it? Well, the right kind of faith is trust in God and rest in God. We cannot have faith in God without rest in God. Otherwise, faith is be vain, wouldn't it? But Jesus, that's what it all centers around. It is pleased God, right? It pleased God to call his name Jesus. In verse 21, really, is where we are looking at this present time. And she, this woman, this Mary, of all the women that's ever been in this world, what a blessing it must have been, in one sense, at least in Mary's particular case, to be the one, to be chosen of God to bring forth this Son, the one that's to be the Savior. Luke chapter 1, then we go. Start with verse 26 there, I guess. And in the sixth month, this talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's child. Elizabeth, the wife of one of the priests, right? Zacharias. And here again, this was not a virgin birth, but it was a miraculous birth. Because here again, and we could go all the way back into the Old Testament, right? We find boy, my mind is blank this morning. Sarah, and
Hannah,
right? Desiring children, they're barren, and even Rebecca, right, was barren,
right.
And Rebecca even complained to Isaac. No, I'm getting that all mixed up. It was Rachel, complained to Jacob, "Give me children or I die." The women used to. It was a reproach if they had no children. And what is happening today? They're killing. They're murdering the fruit of their own wombs.
43 million, man.
I can't.
Worldwide.
It's so hard to wrap your mind around that. But Elizabeth has been barren, but now she is having a child, and this child is going to be the forerunner, is going to be another one that was prophesied of the old prophets in the Old Testament times, as we would say it, that he would come, and here he is, and he comes from, again, God's own choosing. Right? And he comes only in the power and by the power of God. Everything, you see, everything, I don't care what it is, if it is godly, if it is good, it comes from God. It is his work, but he does work in every one of his children. And so Elizabeth is having a child in the sixth month of her pregnancy, I guess we could say it. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, again of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored," right? "Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now you have to understand that the people of Israel were looking for who?
Messiah.
They were looking for the Messiah. And they knew these things. They knew that there was going to be a virgin that was going to bear a son. And I suspect that every godly woman in those days, the thought had to cross their mind, will I be the one? And that's the reason that it was such a blessing, you see, to have the son. Now don't misunderstand, they loved their sons, they loved their daughters, but it was Jesus was to come forth as a son. But here's now is Mary, in the fullness of time, right? Here's the fullness of time. Thou art, blessed art thou, rather, among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Sound just like Noah, right? He found grace in the eyes of God. And that's where it is with all of us, people. If you're here and you know God as the Savior in Jesus Christ, it is because you found favor in His eyes. You found favor with God. Why? Because He has chosen you unto salvation, to the glory and the praise of His name. You didn't find favor with Him because you were somebody. You didn't find favor with Him because of something that you did. Of all, again, I can't stop thinking about this. But of all the women in the world up to that time, one woman is going to bring forth the Savior of the world. And here she is. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Seemed like this was it was important that his name be called Jesus. But you know, it was important going back to Elizabeth. It was important that his name, that child's name, be called what?
John.
The people thought they ought to call his name after his father.
Mm-hmm. Or some relative.
Somewhere. That was custom, wasn't it?
Right. There was no John in her lineage.
Yeah.
That's what they told her.
What did you say?
But
there
was another John in the family. And just like in our family, there's how many Johns in our family? But but anyway, no. God said his name shall be called John. Again, it's faith, you see. Now, it may seem like a little thing to us today, but it's faith whenever you believe in and trust in and be obedient to God, it's because of faith. Yeah. But here again, here is Mary, and can once more... Can you imagine what was going through her mind. No wonder, she said, you know, it says of her, that she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now let me just pause right here for just a moment again and bring this forth, that there are many people today that think that David is going to come back and sit on that throne. And the Bible is full. We could go over to the second chapter of Acts and we could see that same thing, that the Apostle Peter, when he's preaching there on the day of Pentecost, he's bringing forth this very same thing and saying that Jesus is the Son of David and that he's going to sit upon David's throne. But here it is prophesied before he's ever born, right? He shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for how long?
Forever.
And of his kingdom there shall be what?
No end.
Well, that makes 1,000 years seem kind of short, doesn't it? But going on, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Sometimes we have some questions like that too, right? Some at least similar to that. We wonder how God can do things that to us are impossible. Mm-hmm. How shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? Yeah. Well, what did Jesus say? With man it's impossible. But with God. Aren't you glad that with God? With God. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So, she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why is he going to be called Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus, John was named by God the Father. Jesus is named by God the Father. Now, again, this was the custom back in those days that the children were named by the fathers. Today, they're mostly named by the mothers, I think. But back then, it was the fathers named those children. That's why, again, they went to Zechariah, and he couldn't even speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, John's mother was saying, well, his name's going to be John. They said, no, wait a minute. We're going to inquire of the father about this. But when they asked Zechariah, he had them bring forth a tablet and he wrote that his name was John. And what happened then?
He could speak.
Yeah, he could speak. All of a sudden he could speak again. Because he was obedient to the Lord. So, the Father, the Heavenly Father. And how many times in the Bible, and I don't know the answer to this, but a lot of times, Jesus was continually referring to my Father, which is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? How many times do you refer to him like as that? Crying, Abba, Father?
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father? Have you thought lately about what a blessing that is to call God your Father? Don't take that lightly.
No.
In fact, if you take it lightly, what are you doing? You're taking the name of the Lord in vain. His name shall call his name Jesus. Yeah, it was a common practice in those days. And again, it's recorded the thing about Zechariah is in the first chapter of Luke again, in verse 63. So this is a specific name. How many people do you know named Jesus? Now, some people, you know, we have a tendency to use the name Joshua, right? Again, over in the book of Hebrews, it says if Joshua had been able to give them rest, you know. But Joshua really isn't the name Jesus. Now, common today, very common among the Hispanic people is what? Jesus. Which is spelled just like, right? J-E-S-U-S. I don't, are any of you familiar with the Spanish language? Is that really, I've never really understood that. Is that really meant to be Jesus? I mean, you and I, if we read it, we would read it Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's not, is it?
No. I know a guy at work whose first name is Javier.
Yeah.
But spelled with a J.
Yeah.
So I think it's how they pronounce their letters, I suppose.
But you know, as I think about it, I think, would I name one of my children, one of my sons, that? I mean, this name Jesus is so special. And as far as I know, I don't know any in history anyone that's ever been named Jesus except the Savior of the world. It is an exceptional name. A distinctive name. A precious name. And it's important. It had to be important. In fact, it had to be imperative that his name be called Jesus. Because he is the Savior and the only Savior. There's not another. There cannot be another. There will not be another. It is just Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. While you're turning there, we're not going to get to it today, and I didn't intend to get to it today, but Jesus was the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. JT, next Lord's Day, I'm going to get you to explain the importance of the cornerstone. So you can be thinking about that. And the reason I'm doing that is because of his expertise in building and that type of thing, in mechanical things. So I'm going to do that. And also going to ask him to maybe demonstrate again that plumb line. We've talked about that plumb line. Because Jesus is the plumb line.
Yeah.
Jesus is the plumb line. He is that absolute dividing line. And there is no straighter, no more perfect perpendicular line than the plumb line. It is absolutely exact. But that's what Jesus is. That's what he represents as far as God is concerned, as far as the Father is concerned, as far as the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is concerned. Jesus is that plumb line. It's also the head of the corner, right? He is that headstone. And we'll, again, JT can explain something that about that to us, and maybe see the importance of being known and called that headstone. It's all of these things. God has used these things to show us, to give us a mental picture concerning Jesus and concerning his holiness and his righteousness and his judgments and everything that pertains unto him. But right now in Philippians chapter 2, beginning reading here, I guess we'll begin verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was in who?
Christ.
It was in Christ Jesus. And we do. The Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians, he says it very explicitly, we have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Right? But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Now, again, I don't know when, it's been a few months ago, I forgot where it was. I saw it two or three different times. Someone was saying that, well, Jesus never declared himself to be God. You know what? And that's the kind of foolishness that we see. But the Bible's full of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's full of it. This is just one place. He was equal with God. He had to be God then, didn't he? But we go on. but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because again of his obedience, Father, I have glorified thee on earth. Mm-hmm. Right? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. This is how precious this name is. And someday, read the next verse, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And not only is every knee going to bow, but every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, Jesus asked his disciples, said, "Who do men say that I am?" Yeah. Well, some say you're Isaiah, some say you're this, some say you're that. You know, some say you're a prophet. You know, got all kinds of answers. But Jesus then says, well, who say ye that I am? And there's that great confession of the Apostle Peter. Thou art the Christ,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the anointed one.
Yeah, the anointed one. But blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. JT, flesh and blood can't reveal it. They can read it out of this Bible, other books, but they themselves cannot make that profession. Now, going back to that, I guess you call it an invitation. You know, as you read that, what's wrong with those words? Really, nothing. It's not the word. It's not the problem, is it? But it's the fact that the heart of man cannot grasp those things, spiritually speaking. It still goes back to the same thing. The Father seeketh them to worship him. But you cannot worship him except in spirit and truth. Well, and Jesus is
true.
I am the way. Right? The truth and the life. It's me. It's me alone. Jesus. But he has given him a name that is above every name. What does he mean that it's above every name? Well, first of all, again, it is a unique name. Nobody else ever been named that unless they are truly sacrilegious, blasphemous. I don't know. There probably has been somebody that was foolish enough to do that. But I'm thankful I haven't known any of them. But it's a unique name. It's named of the Father Himself, the Heavenly Father, the God, the only true God. It was His name given. But above every name, it means again that there is none other name given among men that even comes close to being as precious as this name of Jesus. And by the way, what's in a name? How do you know each other? By your name, right? And your name is important as far as how people know you. Because they associate your name with your character. But you see, there's none other name. Now we could go over, and we will actually, to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and that's what it says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby ye must be saved. But what about your name, and what about my name? What virtue is there in my name? I mean, outside of Jesus, apart from Jesus, what virtue is there in my name? Nothing. There's certainly nothing outstanding about my name. Again, apart from Jesus. For we were all children of what?
Wrath.
And what is the heart of man?
Deceitful above all things.
Yeah, it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now I'm hastening to say something here, and sometimes I get a little bit disturbed about these people that talk like that even after you become a Christian, somehow your heart's still the same.
You're still sinners.
That can't be, can it? Those two things are diametrically opposed to each other. Cannot be. Now, again, to say that we don't sin, well, that's a different thing. But to say that the heart is the same, because the promise of God is that He will give us a new heart. And there's no salvation outside of that new heart. We're not the same as we were. If we're the same as we were, if the only difference between what we were then and what we are now is just that, again, going back to what JT was talking about earlier, if that's all it is just a profession that you've made.
Like Brother Fletcher said, if you is what you were, you ain't.
Yeah, that's right. Brother John had a distinct way of putting it, didn't he? But understand this. This name is virtuous. Now, again, I'm sorry to say, well, it's more virtuous than any other name, but there's none other name that has any virtue to it outside of being, again, born of the Spirit of Jesus. There's no virtue to anything. And even now, we groan, right? Amen. To be clothed upon with our house from heaven. Mm-hmm. We groan that this corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. Death shall be what? Swallowed up of victory. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And again, how much more could we say about this?
That he might have the preeminence.
Yes. That he does have that preeminence, doesn't he? He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we'll get into that a little bit later on, the Lord willing. Not today. We're not going to make it today. But he is the preeminent one. How would you know who the Savior was if he didn't have this name? Who would you look for? Yeah. So how important is the name? Just the name. It all starts with the name. That's the reason, again, the angel came to Mary and told her, his name shall be called Jesus. Mm-hmm. Nothing else would do. So, again, why did he highly exalt Jesus? Because he was obedient. He was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Yeah. Now again, you know, there have been probably thousands of people that have died on a cross. Oh, yeah. Right? I mean, the Romans, during one of their eras, I mean, they lined the streets with crosses, with bodies on those crosses, and they set them afire and lighted the street with them. But still in all, no one has ever suffered the death of the cross like Jesus suffered it. In fact, the disciples, Jesus told the disciples, yeah, you will bear the cross, you know. Yeah, you will die. And of course, the history, the tradition is that Peter did die on a cross, and the tradition is that it was upside down. But, you know, again, that's tradition. We don't have any biblical thing for that. But the point is that there was a suffering upon that cross that Jesus did that nobody else could do. That can do. Because it was there that the Father poured out his wrath upon the Son. No wonder, again. It should not seem strange that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. In fact, we could kind of, interpret that as meaning above all the names put together. None would come close to the name of Jesus. Well, Acts 4:12, we've already looked at that, or we didn't look specifically at the scripture that didn't read it out of the Bible, but we quoted it, didn't we? And how precious, again, it is, and how simple, right? Can anyone misunderstand that? I mean, when it says, neither is there salvation in any other, how difficult is that to misunderstand? For there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby ye must be saved. Are you going to be saved? Not going to be any other way except through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, faith worketh by what? By love. Not by the law, but by love. But isn't that strange? It's not by the law, but it is by the love of the law. I sometimes get taken aback by a lot of people that, you know, they think, oh, well, you know, we can't be perfect. And in the flesh, no, not only are we not perfect, but we cannot be perfect in the flesh. Not until this flesh has taken on that incorruption, right? But, you know, I go back over in the Psalms and how many times David declares his perfection. He has a perfect heart toward God. Mm-hmm. Brethren, I trust that our hearts are right with God. That as it was said of David, I mean, it was said of him, all right, that he had a heart after God, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if we are the people of God, we have a heart after God. We pant after God as the roe plant panted after the water brook. So, none other name. It is sets him apart. Very distinct. John chapter 3. Of course, in verse 16, we all know verse 16, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name, right? in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, you know, it's kind of, well, it's blasphemous, first of all, but it's so ironic that a preacher would get up and end his prayer with amen and a woman.
All right.
See how silly all of this can be. Just absolutely silly.
Lasciviousness.
But, yeah, it is lasciviousness. Jude hit it right on the head, didn't he? But because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that light is who?
Jesus.
It is Jesus. He's the only, again, he's the only light. He's the only light. You say, well, you know, I've read this book or read that book or this other book, and maybe some good things in that, but the only one that can give you light is light.
Amen.
The one who is light, as we've already talked about. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. And what makes manifest?
Right.
Light makes manifest. That his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, again, we know that, as Isaiah says, that all our righteousness are as what?
Filthy rags.
But now, again, he is talking about from the standpoint of the flesh. He's sure not talking about from the standpoint of that righteousness, those good works that are wrought in us by God. If the works that we do are not works of righteousness, then it's not wrought of God. But if God works in us, those works that come forth from him will be works of righteousness. Can God work anything but righteousness? Could Jesus do anything but good? So what he said, he went about doing good, right? That's all that he could do, is good. If he'd have done one thing that wasn't good, then what? He couldn't have saved us. Why? Because he'd had to pay for his own sin. But he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus did that.
And that's so amazing when you know, just even as a young child, he did not sin.
No. Could not.
No.
Could not sin. Now, we're about out of time, but just very quickly, in Acts chapter 4, verse 11, here's where that stone comes in. It says, this is the stone which was set at naught by you builders. JT, a builder ought to have enough sense to get one of the most important pieces of the building in there, shouldn't he?
Right.
But not these people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the light comprehended it not. Ye are of your father, the devil. Verse 11, then, this is the stone which was set at naught of the builders. But what's happened to it? It's become the head of the corner. You see, again, what man rejects, God sets forth as the very thing that's necessary. But again, what God sets forth as perfection, as holy, as good, as necessary, man always rejects it. Mankind always rejects it. It all began where?
In that garden.
What was wrong? I'm like Brother E.W. Johnson. What's wrong with thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart? What is wrong with thou shalt have no other gods before me? What is wrong with thou shalt not murder or kill? What's wrong with thou shalt not steal? Well, what was wrong when God told Adam and Eve, of all the trees in the garden ye shall freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. What was wrong with that?
Nothing.
No, it was good, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Everything God said was good.
And true, yeah.
And true, yes. It had to be true
true
if it was good, and good if it had to be true, if it was true, right?
Right.
It all holds together, doesn't it? But it's almost unbelievable that man would be an unbeliever. And yet we've all had our part in it. All of us.
Because we believe the lie.
Yeah.
A lie.
And we fought against God, didn't we? We fought against God. Well, I don't know if we'll go any further than that this morning. But it's just so amazing. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Matthew chapter 3. Just close out this morning. Matthew chapter 3. In verse 17 it says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do you understand that this better be your hope and prayer, that someday you will hear God say,
Well done,
thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into what? The joy. The joy of thy Lord. Well, here Jesus, well, what was God so pleased with his son? Why was he so pleased with him? Because he was obedient. And what he was in this particular place, what he was obedient about was what?
Being baptized.
Being baptized. Oh, you don't need to be baptized. Right? Oh, no, you don't need to be. You know, that's been bandied about now for how many years? Going way back in my own lifetime, I know, or in, at least since God saved me. Oh, you don't need to be baptized. That won't save you. Well, in one sense, that may be true. You're not regenerated. Baptism does not regenerate you. But isn't that amazing? How many people there are today that believe in baptismal regeneration? But again, the Apostle Peter makes the specific statement, baptism doth also now save us. Yeah. Now he qualifies it, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Amen. But here's Jesus setting the example. In fact, he came to John the Baptist, right? And wanted him to baptize him. And John didn't want to baptize him. He didn't feel worthy to baptize the Lord. And I understand his feelings there a little bit, I think. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so, for it behooves us to fulfill what?
All righteousness.
What are you going to do? Well, I don't need to be baptized. I just believe in Jesus, and that's enough. Well, if you believed in Jesus, you would be baptized. Now, again, we've covered this before, but we'll just say it again. People go back and they refer to the thief on the cross. Why, he wasn't baptized. Well, my stock answer is that for that is just this. But if he could have got down from that cross, do you know where the first place he would have went? That's right. He would have went to the river and he would have been baptized.
The same thing the Ethiopian did when he saw the
water. Ethiopian, what doth hinder me from being baptized? Well, do you believe? Now, again, the problem with Franklin Graham and all of those like that is that they talk them into doing that before they ever have the heart to do it. And unless the heart is changed, then that baptismal water is not really baptism, is it? It's just in name. Just like if the church is not true to preach the whole counsel of God, then it's not really a church. It's just called a church. Is reported of Abraham Lincoln that's having a debate with a guy and trying to get his point across, and he was saying, well, how many legs does a cow have? The fellow said, well, it's got four legs. Said, yeah, well, suppose we call then a tail a leg. How many then had it have? The guy said, well, I guess it'd have five. Said, no, he still just got four. Just because you call the tail a leg, don't make it a leg. Well, that's pretty apropos for today, isn't it? If just because a man calls himself a woman or vice versa, that doesn't make him so, does it?
Amen.
But just because a person calls himself a Christian doesn't make himself a Christian. If God doesn't name you, isn't that right?
Right.
Where were you named? Your name was written by God in the book of life of the Lamb. So, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And we'll have to leave it off there, I guess, this morning, this afternoon now, isn't it?